friends. I'm your host, Erin Port, and welcome to the Simple Purposeful Living Podcast. Life can be overwhelming and busy, so once a week, I invite you to join me, and together we will make simple tweaks to uncomplicate the hard parts of our life so we can spend more time doing what we love. You don't have to overhaul your life to love it, so let's get started. It's hard to believe, but next week marks 5 years since I saw Quincy's face for the first time. I was sitting in the dentist's office waiting room, waiting for my kids to have their annual cleaning on February 26, 2019. Yes, I remember the date. Some things just stick with you. I got a text from our social worker that she had a file for me to review. I remember thinking, this is what it feels like to get life-changing news. Your world stops and the rest of the world keeps on moving along. I remember opening up the file and seeing his tiny little face. I didn't even know what his special needs were because most likely he had them. And I didn't even know what his file said. It was all in Mandarin Chinese. But I was certain this was our long-awaited for, long-prayed-for, Quincy James. I've been asked repeatedly to share our adoption story, and this month felt as good as any to pull out the mic and share a synopsis of our story. As I started to type out the podcast script, it got a little long, so this one might be a little lengthier, but you can listen to it in parts or at 1.5 speed. But hopefully this answers some of your questions and gives you a glimpse into what an adoption journey looks like. You might know somebody, you might have the seed of adoption on your heart, and so hopefully this answers some questions. Every adoption story is unique and different, but I think they're always really cool to see and hear about. You might have noticed there's a large gap between Vera and Lucille. Maybe it doesn't seem large to you, maybe you haven't even noticed, but those 4 years marked a lot of prayer and tears as we wondered and waited if we'd have another child. The first two kids came fairly easy to us, but I suffered a miscarriage and afterwards could not get pregnant again. It was during that time the seed of adoption was first planted in our hearts. Not only because we knew we wanted more kids, but we'd also walked through an adoption journey with our friends that ended in a failed adoption. While we looked into adoption, it seemed every door was closed to us. We were either too young to adopt from a place like Haiti, or the financial hurdle felt too big. Then we eventually went on to get pregnant, and I wrote a nice little blog post on my website that's still there today because I think it's funny, never say never, sharing we were done having children. But were we? In November 2015, my nephew Jude came down the escalator in the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport with his new family. He'd just come home via adoption from China. I remember looking into his hollow, tiny eyes and touching his ashen face, and something in me stirred. I couldn't quite explain it, but that little seed planted before Lucille started to sprout in my heart. It wasn't long. In January 2016, I held a six-month-old, chubby-cheeked Lucille in my arms at Bible study. We each went around sharing our weekly prayer requests, and my heart beat out of my chest at the thought of sharing a secret I knew I had to share. I needed prayer for it. It was no surprise I started to cry as I spoke the words, "I think I want to adopt." My friends listened intently as I poured out my heart, my words probably making no sense at all, but they listened. Honestly, the desire to adopt didn't make sense to me either. We had our third child, whom we longed prayed for, and just a year prior, we had said our family was complete. The Leedys agreed to pay for me, and we left it at that. A month later, we visited Scott's parents in Florida, and they watched the kids for a coveted, rare date night out. We chose a fancy Bayside restaurant, and while Scott was enjoying his favorite delicacy, Oysters Rockefeller, yes, I still remember, these things stick in my mind, I told him what seemed like a random but deep-seated desire to adopt. He listened, and I told him we should pray about it and that I was praying about it, and the evening ended on a series of different subjects with the adoption discussion finished for now. That's the way adoptions conversations went for a long time for us. It would come up from time to time, but the subject usually faded into another conversation, and that was that. I'll never forget the Sunday my friend Aslan, a young missionary, stood in front of our congregation to share about her desire to become a full-time missionary to orphans in Togo, Africa. She's told story after story, complete with pictures of gaunt-faced babies without moms, and the Holy Spirit within me grieved. Tears trickled down my face as my heart yearned for those orphans. I have sat through many amazing missionary speakers and never once was moved to tears like that. I knew enough about God to know He was moving in my heart and creating a desire, but we had witnessed, like I said, some challenging scenarios with adoption in the past, and the idea of adoption scared me. I didn't want to go into the process and fail, not only for myself, but mostly for a child. So I wiped my tears away and told myself it was just too hard. Scott wasn't on board, and the pain of the past was just too much. But God, He did not relent. In January 2017, we headed out on a week-long Caribbean cruise. Are you getting an idea that we have deep conversations on vacation? This is probably why Scott doesn't want to go on vacation anymore. Just kidding. But the funny thing is, when you get away from your kids, you do have time to talk about things that are not just the day-to-day, but dreams, desires, and hopes for your family and the future. One afternoon, over our favorite chorizo bean dip, after a trip on a pirate boat, that's a story for another day, I asked Scott if he'd been praying about adoption, and he said no. To say I was hurt was an understatement. He thought that this desire was fleeting and that it wasn't still on my heart. Instead of yelling and screaming at each other, I just calmly shared that the desire had not changed in over a year. I still felt called to adopt, despite asking God to take the desire away. I told Scott adoption scared me to death, and that I really needed him to pray about it as well. And he told me the reason he didn't pray about it was he knew God's answer. He is very candid about this now. We've shared this story so many times with other people, and so he's fully on board. He jokes that I throw him under the bus, but he's fully compliant in me throwing him under the bus because I think it's really relatable, right? Like, scary things, we don't want to pray about them, or we don't want to do them because they scare us, right? But for the first time, I think he realized, like I said, this desire wasn't fleeting. So for the next several months, I did my best not to nag him because I had been given wide words of wisdom to just let him pray and not to be his Holy Spirit. That's really hard for me. Really hard. But I did. And he stuck to his word and he prayed. Over and over again, whenever we talked about it, Scott's main concern was the cost of international adoption and the cost of caring for another child with most likely special needs. Most of the time when you're adopting internationally, you're adopting a child who has some level of special needs, if nothing else, just from the sheer fact of neglect and malnourishment, because many kids face that. Some asked us why we didn't foster to adopt, which is free, or try domestic adoption. Well, first of all, foster to adopt is rare, right? The goal of foster care is reunification. And domestic adoption just really wasn't on our heart. And I can't explain it other than we just really wanted to adopt from China. Number one, we had a nephew from China. And so while we would never understand what it felt like to be adopted, we could give our son a relative who would share his same birth culture and be able to have those conversations about adoption. And we just felt like that was a gift that we could give him. So we prayed specifically God to show us how we would be able to afford it. I didn't work outside the home, and although we saved some monthly, it'd be really hard to do so without dipping into long-term savings, which Scott felt unsettled about doing. And to be honest, so was I. We should not have been surprised when Scott got an interesting text on a random weekday just a few weeks later. A friend and former colleague asked him if he'd be interested in a new job at a different civil engineering firm. Scott had worked at the same company since he'd graduated and had no intentions of looking elsewhere, but he jokingly texted back, "If the price is right." Well, one thing led to another, and he ended up setting up the interview more out of curiosity than anywhere else. Mind you, in that same week, another former coworker and friend reached out and asked him to interview at their company. Not one, but two job opportunities within weeks of just praying about this financial burden that we had. We had gotten opportunities in the past, but nothing worth investigating. Then two job opportunities within the week. Was it a weird coincidence? We started to wonder if God was up to something. He ended up interviewing with both companies, and the first one asked what would motivate him to come. So Scott gave them a number that he thought was crazy, and we prayed that if this was how God would provide, he would. I also prayed that this would bolster Scott's confidence that God would provide for us if we stepped out in obedience. On August 19th, my birthday, 2017, Scott gave me a little bag filled with tissue paper. I was optimistic that it might be the one thing I had asked for my birthday, a confirmation that we would step out in faith and say yes to adoption. A big birthday request, but when he asked what I wanted for my birthday, that was it. So as I took out the tissue and saw a little Chinese flag, I knew he was saying yes to adoption. We told the kids the news and they were excited. They couldn't wait for another sibling. My heart started to beat a mile a minute, and to Scott's surprise, I didn't cry. I was in shock. After years of praying, we were finally stepping out in faith and adopting. The moment was quite surreal, much like the emotions you feel on your wedding day. It was happening, and I was sort of scared out of my mind. We got busy filling out our adoption agency application, and from all of the research we had done, most people recommended that you choose an agency based on word of mouth recommendation, which is exactly what we did. We went with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law's adoption agency. They had adopted my nephew Jude from China, and they were in the process of adopting again from China to get my niece Esther, which they didn't know about at the time, but they were in the process. So we decided that if they were willing to use this agency again, it was probably a good bet that it was a good agency. So we pursued that agency as well. In October of 2017, we were accepted into the adoption program and started our orientation. We would use this as our primary agency for our dossier and referral, which means they would hand over all of our paperwork to China and they would be the one that would refer us to a child, our child. But they couldn't do our home study because they weren't certified in our state. So they recommended an agency they could work with in tandem. And we started to apply with that agency and start on our home study in December. Are you getting a trend? It takes so much paperwork and so much time when you're adopting. And it's really lonely because there's no exterior change to a woman's body when you're adopting. But I always say it's like being paper pregnant. So if you have a family member or a friend going through adoption, ask them how the paperwork's going. I was so nervous to have a stranger come into my home for our home study, right? Like, what would they find? What would they poke around about? But thankfully, she quickly put my fears to rest and we instantly hit it off. Angie, our social worker, became a dear friend. She had worked in DHS formerly and had a huge passion for connecting kids to their forever family. She made the hours of interviews feel more like a conversation amongst friends, and she visited three times, interviewed us as a couple, as individuals, and even interviewed the kids. I would say Angie knew us better than anybody to that point at that time. She asked us about our finances, our sex life, our dreams and our aspirations, our goals with adoption, our parenting style. I mean, anything. Nothing was off limits. I'll never forget the moment when she asked Vera what she was scared about, and Vera responded, "Strangers and thunderstorms." Our social worker quickly course-corrected and asked, "No, what are you scared about with the adoption?" To which Vera answered, "Nothing." Our social worker had returned from a trip to China where she had worked with orphans, and so she would share stories of the orphan care and the orphanages, and all of us were just such a captive audience. We couldn't get enough. We wrapped up their home study at the end of January 2018 and submitted the final copy to the referring agency in February. From there, we got to work on our I-800A, which is the paperwork that pre-authorizes us to immigrate a child to the United States. Basically, we went through the immigration process for Quincy. We headed to the federal building downtown to get our biometric scan, which really is just a fancy-dancy fingerprint, and we mailed all of that paperwork off to the government in March. In the meantime, we started making appointments for our adoption physicals and started compiling all the paperwork necessary for our dossier. Since I'd suffered from postpartum depression and anxiety in my past, I also had to get a psychiatric evaluation to prove that I was a fit mother. Talk about humbling experience. But I have to tell you, I have now been certified by a professional that I am fit to mother. Whew, I'm glad because I'd already parented three kids at that point. Everything from tax statements, proof of employment, birth and marriage certificates, physical exams for everyone, and a complete financial standing. All of that needed to go to China in a dossier to prove that we could care for Quincy well. Scott and I would block off a time on the weekends and work together to make the to-do list, scan, and copy. We had this huge binder just full of all of the paperwork so we could keep track of it all. At the end of April, our I-800A was approved. Woohoo! We were approved to immigrate Quincy, and we mailed our dossier packet off to our agency on Mother's Day. What a fun way to commemorate it. We were ahead of schedule and feeling good, but guess what? Like all things, paperwork takes time. The next step in the dossier phase is to authenticate your paperwork at the state and federal level. We got word from our agency that our file was rejected in Iowa because of a lousy notary signature on one stinking document. So we had to go back to the drawing board, get it all redone, and our paperwork was approved in Iowa in June. Then sent to Washington, D.C. to be authenticated, everything cleared, and our paper was sent to China on July 17th, 2018. All of our paperwork at that point was complete. We were officially DTC. So if you've ever heard of that, it means dossier to China. They then review your paperwork and officially log you into the system when they get it. We hoped to hear within the next couple of weeks that they were officially LID, meaning we were logged in and ready to receive referral files. Basically, our agency would get files of kids and they'd be able to send them to us because we were ready to go to accept a referral. Our social worker told us we'd get matched within the next few months. So in my mind, I was thinking, 1 to 3 months, because in the past, it had gone pretty fast. But during the process, things started to slow down. They changed some things in China, and as a result, it just wasn't as efficient as it used to be. So we waited and we waited and we waited some more. The silence was deafening. I don't do well when everything is out of my control, and literally there was nothing we could do. There was all of the paperwork was done. Literally, it was out of my hands, and it was the most humbling experience to just have to sit and wait. A few months turned into several months with no word until February 26, 2019 at the dentist's office. We had 24 hours to make the decision if Quincy James was our son. They recommend you consult a doctor and have them review the file just to be sure that you understand what their special needs were. Quincy had a structural skeletal malformation. He was severely delayed, malnourished, and his file was expedited because he was super duper sick. Basically, he had an ongoing respiratory infection. He'd had sepsis and bacterial meningitis. I mean, everything in his file, he needed to get home to the United States. So they had expedited his file. But those were kind of the things that we were looking at. But our doctor confirmed that, these were all things that we could work through and fix and help him through once he got home. And so we said yes to adopting Quincy James between parent-teacher conferences in the car. We then went home and told the kids who'd walked with us through the process every step of the way that they were finally getting a brother. It was so exciting. Now, I'll tell you, as long and as hard as the wait was waiting to see his face, now that I knew who he was, it was excruciating thinking about him sitting over in China in the orphanage by himself without a mom. And so the next few months, we worked really hard on more paperwork, you guessed it, and prepping. We booked flights, and crazy enough, we got the notification that we could travel. You get this notification that says, yep, you can travel. You've been given a date to adopt and get your visa and passport and all of that. We got that notification 45 minutes within each other. I called her and she was like, I got mine too, meaning we got the same date. So we actually traveled with Scott's sister family. They went to get my niece and we went to get Quincy. And I'm telling you what, it was such a gift of God to be able to travel with them, especially as first-time adoptive parents. Plus, all of our kids got to go. It was just a really, really cool experience. So We decided to take all of our kids because we wanted them to be a part of it from the start. Plus, the thought of leaving them for 20 days was overwhelming to me. We were gonna go through a lot as a family, and I wanted us to all be together. And I'm so glad they came along. Quincy quickly bonded with them. It's not a surprise. He'd been with kids his whole life, and so he bonded with them right away. It gave him a comfort. And it also was a moment that solidified us as a family forever, just all being in the room the day that they handed them to us. But when our train pulled into Hefei, China on June 9th, 2019, I couldn't believe we were finally in our son's birth province. We were struck by the mile after mile of apartment buildings, not just five-story buildings, but skyscrapers, miles of them. Quincy's town was larger than we could have imagined, and the smog haze prevented us from seeing the sun. It's known as the Smog City and is located in the Anhui province of the People's Republic of China. It's actually considered a small town at just 8 million people. We stepped off the bullet train with our three kids, five pieces of luggage, a stroller, and what felt like a partridge in a pear tree, and somehow navigated the hundreds of people down the escalator unscathed. We found our guide and hopped into the van to head to the hotel. Now, here's something to note. We had a guide both in Beijing when we arrived in Beijing and in each of the places we went, Hefei and Guangzhou. And the reason is, everything is in Chinese characters. Like, there's nothing that you're going to understand on any sign. And especially in Hefei, Quincy's birth province, it is not a cosmopolitan city, meaning it is considered kind of a small town because there's not a lot of international industry. So very few people spoke English. And so getting around in a place where you can't read any of the signage, it doesn't even look like, you know, regular letters, or speak the language, they provide a guide. And it was so helpful because obviously that guide speaks English, so they can translate for you. If you're adopting a child that's a little bit older, they can help translate what the child is saying to you. Quincy didn't say a whole lot, so we didn't have him translate, but other people in our group would, you know, the child, they would be able to help them translate what the child was saying. Anyway, that's why we had a guide. Very, very helpful. And so we were finally in Quincy's province, and tomorrow, June 10th, was his gotcha day, the day we'd get to hold our son for the first time. When we walked into our hotel room, there was a tiny crib in the corner we'd ordered. It was hard to believe this was it. The kids stretched out in the adjoining room while we chatted with our guide about what the next day would look like. We went through all the scenarios of what Quincy might do when they handed him to us, what we should focus on in the first 24 hours, and then we signed all the preliminary adoption paperwork. If we weren't nervous before, let me just tell you, our hearts were racing a mile a minute at this point. Our guide headed out. We unpacked and grabbed a quick bite to eat, meaning the kids were not a fan of the noodles, so they literally ate a bite in the hotel noodle restaurant before calling it a night. We took so many snacks, by the way. Like, half of a suitcase was just snacks, knowing that my kids were picky eaters. And in a place like Hefei that's not internationally integrated, there was a lot more local fare, which my kids were not a huge fan of. You know, we learned. We figured it out. We somehow slept. Not great, but we did sleep. And it's hard to explain, but we were walking into unknown territory. We felt the prayers of those back home, and we knew God had led us to this point. It was go time. Thankfully, our gotcha day time was in the morning, so we didn't have to sit around all day and wait. We got up and went to the top floor for breakfast. And let me just tell you, Chinese hotels know how to do breakfast. It was my favorite meal of the day. Like, their buffets are incredible. And our top floor of our hotel was revolving. And so, you know, it spun around while we were eating breakfast. And there was even a kids' gym in the breakfast area. I'm telling you, like, next level breakfast. Anyway, so we got to enjoy breakfast. And also we met the other American adoptive family that would be adopting a 10-year-old girl the day that we adopted. So we could share kind of our nerves and our excitement together. It just kind of was really assuring as a parent because they had adopted one other time. So they kind of knew what to expect and they could kind of usher us through it. So really appreciated that. Around 8:30, we packed up the diaper bag full of snacks, toys, and gifts and hopped in the van and off through the streets of Hefei, we went to the government affairs building. The building itself didn't even look like a government affairs building. It was just in a row of other buildings along the street. We hopped off the bus and followed the guy through the nondescript front door. The only indication we were in a government building was the two guards at the entrance who nodded at us as we walked in. We rode up to the floor that handled both marriage and adoption certificates. So you can imagine these Americans walking in with all of these Chinese nationals getting their marriage certificates, and they're probably like, what in the world are these people doing here? We got lots of looks. But we filed us into this room that looked was like a large boardroom, like table and chairs. There, our guide instructed us to get out all the paperwork we had brought with us from the United States while our kids played on the iPad and we waited for Quincy to arrive. Shortly before 9 a.m., our guide got a call from Quincy's orphanage letting him know that they would be delayed because Quincy wasn't feeling well. I didn't think much of it other than the fact we would be having to wait a little longer. Meanwhile, we got to witness two other adoptive families welcome their children. Both of those children were older, and one little boy was adopted by a Spanish family, which was super cool to see. It broke my heart, though, as tears trickled down his face. He was scared to death, and he cried out for his nanny. Adoption is born from brokenness. Meanwhile, when Quincy arrived, we tried to remain calm and prepped Solon with our camera and Vera with my iPhone to snap photos and videos. I'll never forget when he arrived. The door opened and there he was. His nanny walked in and he just looked so somber. I reached out to him and he came to me. He was warm and collapsed against my body. He didn't even cry. We introduced him to Scott and the kids while our guide handled the paperwork. He just stared at us with his deep brown eyes, completely emotionless. At one point, I looked up while holding him to see a pile of medication on the table. I thought to myself, wow, someone has a really sick child. That's a lot of medicine. Well, not 10 minutes later, I realized all of that medicine was for Quincy. He wasn't just under the weather. He had a high fever, 105 to be exact, and a severe respiratory infection. Our guide started to review all of the Chinese medications and how to dose them. Some we would have to mix with water, others we would have to grind up and place under his tongue. Scott furiously took notes as my mommy heart started to feel very anxious. I missed our American healthcare system and I was scared. Our guide translated other pertinent information to Scott, like Quincy's schedule, when he took his 5 bottles. He didn't eat much food, which was an overstatement. If I've ever heard of overstatements, Quincy had never eaten solid food in his life. I was so anxious about Quincy's health. My one regret is that we didn't get a family photo besides a quick selfie on Gotcha Day. After completing the paperwork, we packed up all of our things and loaded into the van before heading to the hotel for the rest of the day. And I'll never forget asking the guide, like, what happens if he stops breathing? Because I was so scared that he would stop breathing and I wouldn't know what to do. Scott went with our guide to the grocery store to get some formula and a bottle. He didn't have much interest in eating anything or drinking anything, but the kids got a couple of coos out of him. Little did we know he actually had no words. He was completely mute for months after we got him home. He didn't speak any Mandarin. He didn't speak any English. He was just physically and mentally exhausted from the day. We all were. So since Quincy was sick, we didn't even leave the hotel for dinner. We contacted the front desk to see if they could order us pizza, and they got us Pizza Hut pizza, which to this day, every Gotcha Day, we order Pizza Hut pizza as a commemoration. We had a little hotel picnic, and so we still have a little carpet picnic every Gotcha Day, having Pizza Hut pizza, just remembering the chaos of that day. I just remember praying all day long that we would be able to get his fever down. Thankfully, we brought a ton of medical stuff from home, acetaminophen and ibuprofen and all that. So we were able to kind of keep his fever at bay. And by the grace of God, we did not screw up any of his medications. Like literally, we didn't even have a pestle. We were grinding his medication with a teaspoon and a coffee cup and trying to pour it down his throat. At the time, we didn't know he had a tongue tie, so we had to cut a slit in his bottle and pour it down, like basically just stick the bottle in his mouth and the formula would just pour down his throat. He was, I'm just so grateful we're not there anymore. He's come a long way. By the end of the day, we put on the kids' matching pajamas that I lovingly helped my sister grab. She picked out 4 matching pajamas. We put them on the kids, and we literally all fell into bed. Quincy never once cried that day. He was just too sick. It was surreal. We spent the next week in his province filing all of his exit paperwork and initiating his Chinese passport that he would fly on to get to the United States. Once he touched ground in the United States, he'd immediately become a U.S. citizen, but he needed to fly on a Chinese passport. We then went to Guangzhou, where we met up with Scott's sister's family for the second week, and that's where we did all of the U.S. immigration paperwork to solidify his immigration to the United States. In the meantime, during that time, we spent time just touring around Guangzhou, visiting sights and sounds of the Chinese culture, which was really cool to just be able to enjoy. And Quincy was able to just like stay status quo with his illness. He didn't get any worse. He didn't really get any better, but we were able to just keep it kind of even until we got home, which was really good. And then once we got home, of course, the minute we got home, it was like, bam, bam, thank you, ma'am, right into getting him into all the appointments, the pulmonologist, the cardiologist, getting him on some hefty antibiotics to take care of that severe respiratory infection. And, of course, then all the therapies and all of that. And so that's a story for another day. This has gotten long and I don't want to take any more of your time, but that's kind of how our adoption journey went. And here's the thing. I am so grateful for God's faithfulness every step of the way in the journey. He's healed Quincy. He's bonded us all tightly together and he has given us this beautiful family. In sharing our story, I hope that others might be stirred to step out in faith. There are millions of orphans that need a forever family. What I kept coming back to is this: why not us? We had a home, we had a family, and we had the resources to provide for a child. And I'm so glad we said yes, even though we were scared out of our mind. We could have missed out on the love and the miracle that is our son, Quincy James. If you have any questions about adoption, please reach out. One of my favorite things to do is to counsel other families walking through the adoption journey and encourage them in the process. It can be lonely. So your practical takeaway this week is, even if you don't feel led to adopt, if you know someone who is adopting or has walked through the adoption journey, reach out to them and ask them how it's going. How can you pray for them? It means so much. I promise you that. I hope that this was an encouragement to you, and I look forward to seeing you back here on the podcast next week. Thanks for tuning in to the Simple Purposeful Living podcast. If you like this episode, it would mean so much if you'd share it with a friend or leave a quick rating and review so others can find our show. Until next time, you can find me at Simple Purposeful Living on Instagram and Facebook for some more encouragement and practical tips. You get one life, so let's enjoy it on purpose. Until next time, bye.